Today is Thursday, August 27th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Elon Musk becomes the latest Nazi decorated by the Zelensky regime. By Andre Damon. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky signed a decree Wednesday giving Elon Musk the Order of Freedom, the highest Ukrainian order a foreign citizen can receive, for his, quote, outstanding personal merits in protecting human life and freedom. In honoring Musk, a committed ideological fascist and the world's leading promoter of the global far-right movement, the Zelensky regime is once again exposing the fraud of those who claim that Ukraine is fighting for democracy. The same government that praises the fascist and war profiteer Musk as a fighter for freedom jails opponents of the war and has outlawed left-wing political opposition. On August 10th, a Ukrainian court handed the 27-year-old socialist Bogdan Syrytyuk 15 years in prison for opposing the war and calling for the unity of Russian and Ukrainian workers against it. Musk is a notorious proponent of the anti-Semitic tropes of white genocide and the Great Replacement, the latter casting immigration as a Jewish conspiracy to wipe out the white race. In a December 28, 2024 op-ed for the German paper Welt und Sonntag, 2 months before the national election, Musk called the far-right Alternative for Germany, or AFD, quote, the last spark of hope for this country, unquote. He told an AFD rally in Halle by video on January 25, 2025, quote, there is too much focus on past guilt, and we need to move beyond that, unquote. In Britain, Musk addressed a September 13, 2025 London rally called by the fascist Stephen Yaxley-Lennon, who calls himself Tommy Robinson, quote, whether you choose violence or not, violence is coming to you, unquote. Musk said by video link, quote, you either fight back or you die. With this decoration, Musk becomes the latest in a series of fascists honored by the Zelensky regime and the Ukrainian state. On May 26, Zelensky signed a decree giving one of Ukraine's special forces units the honorary title Heroes of the UPA, with the stated aim of restoring, quote, the historical traditions of the National Army. UPA stands for the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, formed in 1942 to fight under the faction of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, led by Stepan Bandera, whose movement had welcomed Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941. The militia of Bandera's organization took part in the Lviv pogroms of 1941, in which German forces and Ukrainian nationalists murdered thousands of Jews. UPA fighters then murdered Poles by the tens of thousands in Volhynia and eastern Galicia, regions of pre-war Poland, beginning in 1943. Poland's Institute of National Remembrance counts about 100,000 dead through 1945, taking in the Lublin region as well. Most were women and children. Polish President Karol Nawrocki revoked Zelensky's Order of the White Eagle, Poland's highest decoration, on June 19th over the UPA title. Zelensky shipped it back to Warsaw the next day by private courier. Among the other Nazi collaborators honored by the Zelensky regime are Andriy Melnyk, who led the wing of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, whose Bukovian battalion, the historians Carol Berkhoff and Per Anders Rudling allege, took part in the murder of Jews at Babyn Yar, where over 37,700 were shot in 2 days of September 1941. Melnyk was reburied with full state honors outside Kyiv on May 25th, Zelensky attending, over the protest of Israel's Holocaust memorial Yad Vashem, Roman Shukyevich, an officer of the Nachigal battalion that entered Lviv the day the 1941 pogrom began, a captain in a German police battalion that fought partisans and occupied Belarus, and from 1943, the UPA's commander, was named a hero of Ukraine in 2007, and a Kiev Avenue renamed in his honor stands to this day. Bandera himself was named a hero of Ukraine by former President Viktor Yushchenko in 2010, and though the courts later annulled his and Shukyevich's titles on citizenship grounds, Kiev's Bandera Avenue, the former Moscovia Avenue, stands. Ulas Shamchuk, the newspaper editor in German-occupied Rivne, who wrote in September 1941 that Jews and Poles, quote, must disappear completely from our cities, unquote, and whose paper marked the massacre of roughly 21,000 Jews at Rivne with a cartoon caption, quote, "For the Judeo-Bolshevik Hydra, it's the final hour," received a Kiev street in 2023. Petro Diachenko, who commanded a German SD police battalion that fought Polish partisans during the 1944 Warsaw Uprising and was decorated by Germany with the Iron Cross, received state commemorations from Ukraine's parliament in 2015 and has streets in six Ukrainian cities, the most recent named in 2025. Yaroslav Stetsko, Bandera's deputy, who wrote in 1941 that he supported, quote, "the destruction of the Jews and the expedience of bringing German methods of exterminating Jewry to Ukraine," unquote, has streets and monuments in more than a dozen Ukrainian cities. Yevhen Konovalets, who founded the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, and placed it in the service of German intelligence in the 1930s, before its members went on to join the mass murder of the Jews of Ukraine, was reburied at the National Military Memorial Cemetery outside Kiev on August 18th, 8 days after Syrtyuk was sentenced, with Zelensky attending. The Zelensky regime is a dictatorship, ruling under martial law imposed in February 2022 and extended by Parliament 20 times since. Zelensky's term ran out May 20th, 2024. In remarks to journalists published Sunday, he said elections now would be, quote, "a tsunami for the state that will split Ukraine," unquote. In June 2022, the courts shut down the largest opposition party, Opposition Platform for Life. The UN Human Rights Office reported on September 23, 2025, that Ukrainian prosecutors had opened over 22,800 criminal investigations in conflict-related cases, and that it continued to document, quote, "torture and ill-treatment of conflict-related detainees by Ukrainian authorities," unquote, most often by the SPU, the State Security Service. This machinery of repression is aimed above all at left-wing opponents of the war. The 11 parties Zelensky's government suspended in March 2022 included five left-wing parties, among them the Socialist Party of Ukraine. The Communist Party had been banned in 2015. Bogdan Syrtyuk was convicted of high treason under martial law by a court in Pervomaysk in the southern Mykolaiv region. He heads an organization of Ukrainian and Russian Trotskyists, the Young Guard of Bolshevik Leninists, which is in political solidarity with the International Committee of the Fourth International. He was convicted of opposing the war and of telling Ukrainian and Russian workers to unite against it. The evidence was his articles, published by the World Socialist website. Among the grounds of the verdict names are Syrtyuk's, quote, "comparison of citizens of Ukraine with the fascists and Nazis of the times of the Second World War," unquote, and his, quote, "devaluation of the national heroes and historical national figures of Ukraine and their transformation into criminals," unquote. The national hero he turned into a criminal is Bandera. The decoration of Musk is directly related to the escalation of the war. Ukraine, the Financial Times reported Friday, is asking Musk to let its drone strikes use Starlink, the SpaceX satellite network, so they can carry out attacks as far as 200 kilometers or 124 miles inside Russia. That is, his reward for protecting human life is aimed at securing the assistance of the richest man in the world for more killing. Ukraine's imperialist backers keep pushing the war deeper into Russia. The Storm Shadow cruise missile, which the French call Scalp, flies more than 250 kilometers, according to its manufacturer MBDA, and has already been fired at Russian territory. On August 24th, in Kiev, on his first trip abroad as Prime Minister, British Prime Minister Andy Burnham authorized MBDA to declassify the technical data on the missile's British components, clearing the last obstacle to Ukraine building its own version. 9 days before that, on the night of August 15th, Ukraine had flown some 600 drones at the Moscow region in one of the biggest air attacks it has launched in the whole war. The war has killed, wounded, or left missing more than 2 million soldiers on both sides, according to a July estimate by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, or CSIS, a Washington think tank. Bogdan Syrtyuk is imprisoned for advancing the program on which a movement against the war must be built, the unity of Russian and Ukrainian workers against both governments. His defense has spread around the world. The deadline for his appeal is September 9th. Sign the petition and donate to the campaign at wsws.org/freebogdan. Send letters of protest to the Pervomaysk City District Court in the Mykolaiv Court of Appeal, copying Free Bogdan at wsws.org. In the run-up to midterm elections, the Supreme Court boosts Trump's attack on mail-in voting, by Barry Gray. On Monday, August 24th, the U.S. Supreme Court granted the Trump administration's emergency request for a stay on a lower court injunction blocking implementation of Trump's executive order curtailing mail-in voting in the November midterm elections. The court order, overridden by the right-wing majority on the Supreme Court, was issued in June by Judge Indira Talwani of the U.S. District Court in Massachusetts in a suit brought by 23 Democratic-led states and Washington, D.C. Judge Talwani agreed with the plaintiff states that Trump's executive order was an unconstitutional and unlawful assertion of federal executive power over the administration of elections. Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution explicitly delegates the, quote, manner of holding elections for senators and representatives, unquote, to the states, with residual powers granted to Congress to, quote, make or alter regulations, unquote, concerning federal elections. The Constitution grants the executive branch zero power to administer or regulate federal elections. Monday's high court ruling also overturned an appeals court decision that rejected a Trump administration request to stay Judge Talwani's June ruling. The Supreme Court ruling is in itself not dispositive, that is, not final, from a legal standpoint. A separate injunction handed down earlier this month by Judge Talwani in a case brought by voting rights organizations, including the League of Women Voters in the American Civil Liberties Union, remains for the present in effect. Moreover, the August 24th decision did not address the legality of the executive order. Rather, the Trump administration sought relief, and the court granted it, on the grounds, entirely specious, that the state plaintiffs in the first suit before Judge Talwani did not have legal standing to sue the federal government. The administration immediately filed suit late Monday, asking Judge Talwani, in light of the Supreme Court ruling, to lift her remaining injunction against the executive order, which the judge refused to do. Legal battles will continue, and they are guaranteed in short order to go back to the Supreme Court. There are questions as to whether the legal wrangling will permit Trump's limits on mail-in voting to go into effect prior to the midterms, now less than 10 weeks away. Early voting in some states begins next week. What is beyond doubt, however, is that Trump will attempt to use the uncertainty surrounding the elections, fomented by his baseless charges of election fraud and compounded by his attack on mail-in voting, to manipulate the elections and possibly suspend them altogether. There are three main elements to Trump's March 31st executive order on voting. It directs the Secretary of Homeland Security to compile lists in each state of U.S. citizens 18 and older and eligible to vote, and to send the list to the states prior to any federal election. The states are then required to send lists of all registered voters to whom they are sending mail-in and absentee ballots to the federal government and the U.S. Postal Service, or USPS. Ballot mail sent by states and localities to voters is required to be mailed in envelopes with new federal markers and barcodes so that it can be tracked. The USPS is to be barred from sending mail-in ballots to voters not on the list of citizens created by federal agencies. Finally, the Department of Justice is directed to investigate and prosecute state and local election officials who issue federal ballots to individuals not eligible to vote in federal elections. The order also suggests that the Postal Service should refuse to deliver mail ballots in states that don't comply with the new rules. The states from which the voter lists are compiled are out of date and full of inaccuracies, and there is vast scope for the Department of Homeland Security, which is spearheading the pogrom against immigrants, to profile and deliberately exclude legal immigrant voters as well as political opponents of Trump. Moreover, a trove of personal information about voters supplied by the states will be funneled to the domestic spy and police agencies of the U.S. ruling class. Last Friday, 3 days before the Supreme Court ruling, the USPS published its final rule on implementing the executive order on mail-in ballots. The rule specifically requires states to submit names and addresses of voters receiving mail ballots to the Postal Service as a condition of its delivering ballots in the state. Trump has largely purged the USPS Board of Governors of Democrats and packed it with Republican election deniers. Lawyers challenging the executive order wrote in one case, quote, USPS is no longer merely a carrier of ballots. It is instead transformed into a gatekeeper of voter eligibility. The federal government has already sued 30 states and Washington, D.C. for refusing to hand over lists of eligible voters. In March, Trump told Republican lawmakers that passing a strict voter identification law cracking down on mail ballots would, quote, guarantee the midterms, unquote, for the GOP. Trump's claims of hundreds of thousands of non-citizens voting in U.S. elections are total fabrications. In the 2024 elections, 30% of ballots were by mail. Of these, the Brookings Institution found 4 documented cases of fraud out of 10 million ballots. The Supreme Court's emergency ruling on Monday was an unsigned per curiam decision. The 3 liberals on the court made public their opposition. Justice Sonia Sotomayor issued a brief dissent, focusing almost entirely on the issue of the plaintiff's state standing in the first case decided by Judge Talwani. Her dissent was joined by Justice Elena Kagan. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson issued a more substantive dissent that legally shredded the opinion issued by the 6 right-wing judges. Speaking of Trump's executive order, she wrote, quote, the order thus requires a fundamental overhaul of the state's existing mail-in ballot systems, changing from a state-administered process to one in which the federal government controls who gets a ballot and whose vote counts. In response to the administration's claim, upheld by the court, that denying it judicial relief from the injunction against its executive order would inflict irreparable harm on the federal government, she wrote, quote, at bottom, the government's irreparable harm argument is just another species of the far-fetched contention that the president must be injured whenever he is prevented from doing as he wishes, unquote. She accused the Trump administration of seeking to undermine the midterm elections, writing, quote, the government's actual objective, to secure our imprimatur for its efforts to foment chaos ahead of the November elections, unquote. The corporate media and the Democrats have, for the most part, downplayed the significance of the Supreme Court ruling, seeking to spread complacency in the face of the escalating assault on democratic rights in the drive to dictatorship. In a social media post, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, a potential contender for the 2028 Democratic presidential nomination, said the court's decision did not deal with the substance of Trump's executive order. He asserted that the ruling, quote, does not mean his illegal attempt to restrict mail-in voting will go forward. Whether or not Trump's executive order is implemented in time for the November elections, he is pursuing a definite strategy. Opinion polls point to a defeat for the Republican Party in November. The social, economic, and political crisis of U.S. capitalism is being intensified by the debacle in Iran, and there is an accelerating political shift among workers and youth to the left. Against these dangers, Trump is seeking to promote the specter of voting by masses of illegal aliens to entrench himself as dictator president without any check on executive power. He is acting not as an individual, but as the criminal representative of the corporate financial oligarchy. In prosecuting the attack on mail-in voting, the administration is mobilizing the far-right majority on the Supreme Court, the Department of Homeland Security, parent agency of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and a weaponized postal service. It is creating the conditions for potentially dispatching ICE, the FBI, and or the National Guard to seize voting machines and arrest state and local election officials in order to block or override the midterm elections or future elections. In this, the nominal opposition, the Democratic Party, is in reality an accomplice. It represents the same capitalist oligarchy as Trump. Its major difference with the administration is over its demand for greater U.S. involvement in the conflict with Russia and Ukraine. The Democratic Party is no less petrified by the growth of anti-capitalist sentiment and working-class resistance than the Republicans. Hence, the secret meeting between Trump surrogate Jared Kushner and Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and as well, DSA Democrat Zohran Mamdani's declaration of support for Jeffries as the next House Speaker. The erection of a presidential dictatorship cannot be halted through lawsuits or appeals to the Democrats. The defense of democratic rights, including the right to vote, requires the independent mobilization of the working class against capitalism and the parties of the financial oligarchy, the Democrats as well as the Republicans. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.